Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Steve Cortez. He is a commentator on CNN. He's also serving on the Trump 2020 Election Advisory Council and with the Trump Hispanic Advisory Council. And we're going to talk about the economy under President Trump. Steve, welcome back to the program. Thank you.
Jerry, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, I understand that the economic boom is something we haven't seen for a couple of decades.
It's something you're exactly right. We haven't seen this kind of growth since the 1990s, and I hope that we're just getting started. And I call it the Trump boom. I'm trying to call it that on Twitter, and I wrote an article specifically about that, and I'd like to get that phrase going if I can, because it's the reality. While mainstream media is totally fixated on issues that aren't central to most Americans' lives, things at the border, and I'm not saying border's not a serious issue, but let's face it, it doesn't really impact the vast majority of Americans, but what does are bread and butter issues of prosperity and their earnings and the money in their pockets for disposable income and disposable spending. And on all those measures, things are getting just demonstrably better and accelerating in this economy. Right now, here in quarter two, which we're nearing the end of, according to the Atlanta Fed, they have a GDP model. So it's not just somebody's opinion. It's a statistical model. They show that we're tracking at about 4.7% GDP growth for this quarter, which would just be amazing. We haven't even sniffed that kind of a number in a very, very long time. And after a decade of slow growth, we really, really badly need it. And not only that, Jerry, not only is the economy doing well on the whole, it's doing well most specifically for the people who needed it most, which is working class folks. The last decade of slow growth was actually great for the owners of assets. If you had a lot of stocks and real estate, you did very well. But that's really only the very top end of our economic ladder. Most of us are wage earners and don't have significant assets. So asset appreciation isn't going to change the day-to-day lives of most Americans, but wages will. And first quarter of 2018, we already have that data. We know that it was the fastest wage growth of any quarter in a decade. And a lot of that went to middle and lower income workers. For instance, workers without a high school diploma, so you know the real underdogs economically of our society, those high school dropouts, those workers saw the lowest unemployment since the year 2000, since before the tech boom really got going, boom and bust. African-American and Hispanic workers, all-time lows in unemployment. So people who were left out of the slow growth era of the Obama years, minorities, blue-collar workers, wage earners, are all seeing their prospects and their prosperity accelerate and increase under this president. And I think it's because of a combination of tax cuts and reduced regulatory burden. And I think on top of that, Jerry, we don't talk about this enough, I think, when we talk economics. It's also the intangibles. The policies are really important, but so is the attitude. You know, the economy is a human dynamism. It's a human construct. And when people believe and when they're confident, that confidence can feed on itself and create a virtuous cycle. If you believe, you hire. If you hire, he believes and he spends and so on. And we're seeing that happening in our economy. It's not just my opinion. Consumer confidence absolutely soaring. We got out last week a report from the National Association of Manufacturers. Their survey of manufacturers showed an all-time high in outlook. 95% of their members said they are confident in the outlook going forward. So there's an optimism in the land that is palpable. There's an acceleration out there that's real. And it's a story that mainstream media doesn't want to talk about, but I sure do.
Well, the mainstream media, of course, wants to talk about the border problem and the families being separated. Since you are on the Trump Hispanic Advisory Council, would you mind mentioning that and talking about that?
Sure.
From your perspective? We can continue about the economic boom, the Trump boom.
Sure, you bet. Look, I think that we have tolerated in this country a porous and lawless border for far too long, for decades, really. And both parties have, quite frankly. I think on the Democratic side, I think they very cynically look at an open border and say, you know what, those are votes for us eventually, whether people become citizens eventually or if they have children who are citizens. And that's a voting base, and we want more of that. And then on the conservative or Republican side, I think a lot of the corporate interests say we want cheap labor. Right? That's good for them. It's not good for America. For the American worker, but it's good for them. So I think both sides effectively looked the other way for a very long time. It created a real mess that President Trump inherited. And as is his wont, he's taking it on, whether it's North Korea or the healthcare crisis or this. When he inherits a mess, he doesn't just complain about it. He takes action. So I'm a big supporter of the zero tolerance policy at the border. And I feel terribly for the kids who suffered and who were separated from their parents. But we didn't cause that situation. Their parents did, by committing a crime, a serious crime, of trespassing our sovereign border, breaking and entering into the United States without permission, and doing so with their children in tow, committing a crime while your children are with you. If you do that in the United States, if an American does that, they're separated from their kids. If I break and enter into a house tonight and I bring my son along for the ride and get caught, guess what? I'm getting separated from him, and that stinks for him. But it's not the cops' fault who arrested me. It's not the president's fault. It's my fault for doing that. So that's what I think about, you know, the border here. And by the way, a lot of Hispanics that I talk to, I don't have data to give you on this, but a lot of Hispanics that I talk to, whether native-born or legal immigrant, they agree that our border enforcement is too lax. So it's not as though Hispanics are monolithic on this and that they're all in favor of illegal immigration. I want to make the point, too, constantly the mainstream media wants to conflate legal and illegal immigration, and I always fight that on air as much as I can because it's dishonest. And it's, by the way, I think it's really offensive to legal immigrants, people like my dad, who went through a very hard process. It's not easy to become a legal American. It can be expensive, really lengthy. The people who do that and become immigrants the right way and become new Americans, I think it's offensive to them and totally unfair and unjust to presuppose that others can just cheat the system and hop the line. I mean, we learned that in kindergarten, you know, if a little kid got in front of you in the milk line, that's wrong. Yeah. It's unfair. Well, this is a much more serious milk line, and it's even more unfair.
All right, so now you look at the Trump administration officials being hounded out of restaurants, movie theaters, you know, whatever. It's a terrible situation. NPR even said, what in the world is the Homeland Security head for the Trump administration doing eating in a Mexican restaurant? That's an oxymoron or something like that. And it's like, what? Anyway, your thoughts.
Well, it's really unfortunate, the lack of civility. You know, it's crazy. And by the way, too, that idea that, you know, Secretary Nielsen or DHS is somehow anti-Hispanic, one thing I like to point out is that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I think ICE does really heroic work and gets really unfairly demonized a lot of times by the left. It's important to point out ICE is, in terms of percentages, ICE is the most Hispanic agency in the entire federal government. Huh. You know, so think about that. This isn't a bunch of racist white jackboots who are looking to pick on Hispanics. There's a lot of Hispanics who are trying to enforce U.S. law and doing a really tough job, a dangerous job, and should be thanked and admired by us, not scorned and certainly not shouted at in restaurants or, you know, any of that. It really comes down to the intolerant left, right? The left claims to be so tolerant, ironically, paradoxically, when in fact they're the opposite. They're very tolerant as long as you have their views, as long as you think like they do. Like, for instance, I take a ton of heat, you know, on social media, sometimes even in person, because I'm an Hispanic and I support Trump, and I'm constantly called, you know, Uncle Tom or the Spanish version, Tio Tomas, you know, as if because I'm Hispanic, I must think like them, like, you know, I must subscribe to their leftist agenda. Of course, I point out I think Hispanics are actually doing great under Trump, and I think he's going to earn, he massively surprised people in 2016 with the percentage of Hispanic vote that he garnered. And I think he's going to do even better come 2020 because he's actually producing for Hispanic Americans, unlike the left, which loves to promise to minorities, loves them at election time, and then basically forgets about them in between, or even, you know, even worse, exploits them in between. So there's too much incivility out there. I would hope that as Americans, as human beings, you know, we can break bread without it becoming an instant political issue. You know, I was joking this morning when I went to get my Starbucks, you know, they're going to ask me, do I really support Trump on the border, and, you know, no Starbucks for you? I mean, think of how absurd that would be, you know? Now, it's a different story, by the way. If Sarah Sanders had said to the Red Hen, hey, we want to have an ICE event here, and we're going to celebrate our policy, right? Now, I had no problem with Red Hen saying, you know what, that's not for us, right?
Yeah.
You know, or let's say the Red Hen owner is devoutly Christian and Planned Parenthood comes in and says, you know, we want to celebrate our, you know, 1,000th abortion in the county or something. No, that's not for us. Like, that's totally different. And, you know, there you're asking them to accommodate you and to accommodate your ideology. Sarah Sanders wasn't doing that. They were there for dinner like any other regular person. And so to me, to refuse service on that basis then actually is really reminds me of pre-civil rights Southern lunch counters, right? I'm not going to serve you just because I don't like your skin. It's really no different than I'm not going to serve you because I don't like your politics. You know, right. My thing is, as long as you're behaving yourself and paying your bill, you're welcome here, right?
All right, good. These are excellent comments. Okay, now, you refer to the economy under Trump. You call it the Trump boom. Nancy Pelosi says, oh, all we're getting from this administration is crumbs.
Right. Isn't that interesting? So we at least 4 million workers that we know of received bonuses directly tied to the Trump tax cuts. And the number's probably way higher than that. But we really only know about the bigger firms because the little ones, you know, are just hard to track, right, by definition. But at least 4 million. And the average was about $1,000 each one-time bonus. That doesn't count all the future stuff, pay raises, pay increases that are going on, you know, for good. But she is so out of touch. She is such an elite San Francisco liberal that she doesn't realize that to a lot of people, $1,000 might not be much to her. Probably isn't. $1,000 is a lot of money to most Americans. $1,000 can be the difference between paying your bills that month or not, or between taking a short trip with your child or not taking it. You know, signing up for that online class, you know, to try to get your degree or not doing it. So anyway, it can be life-changing. It truly can. I don't mean to exaggerate too much, but
sure.
Particularly if it's ongoing, and $1,000 bonus and a raise, right, and you're more confident in your job. So, you know, she's just incredibly out of touch. I had to say, though, as a partisan, you know, as an American, it drives me crazy that, you know, the former Speaker of the House thinks that way. But I have to say, as a partisan, as a Republican and a Trump guy, please keep her out there, because the more she's at the microphone, the better we're going to do.
How about Maxine Waters?
Oh, gosh. Well, and there, like, it's, you know, it's there I can't even really, I can kind of laugh about Nancy Pelosi because I just think she's so out of touch. Maxine Waters, I don't think is funny. I think she's actually inciting violence. I really do. You know, she's asking for at the least incivility towards Trump supporters, that, you know, I can't get gas without being harassed by them. Well, where is that going to lead? It's going to lead to more Steve Scalises, I think, quite frankly, to actual violence. It's bad enough if it's words and a refusal of service. I think that stinks and it's wrong. But it's going to get worse than that. And for a sitting congresswoman to talk that way is just reprehensible. By the way, even Nancy Pelosi actually criticized her, which is saying something. You know, you're really out of bounds when you're too far left for Nancy Pelosi. But I do think it, unfortunately, you know, it unveils, Maxine Waters' comments unveil the thinking of the left, which again is, you know, think like we do or be subject to the mob. And the mob might be an online digital mob. In some cases now it's becoming a physical mob. And I just hope it doesn't become the kind of mob that actually hurts people. But I fear that could happen.
Wow, it's the difference between, you know, America and the French Revolution. Okay, in your article about the Trump boom, you mentioned that 2 million Americans have stopped receiving food stamps since President Trump was elected, when you say that's an incredible movement towards self-sufficiency.
Right. Isn't that just great news? And another example of why the spoils, the proceeds of this economic growth, unlike the slow growth of the Obama years, where really all the benefits went to the very top of our economic scale, ironically, right, under a party that claims to be about the working man. Now the opposite is happening. And there's really probably no better data point than food stamps, because look, I'm not demonizing anybody on food stamps. You know, that's why it's there. If you need it, in this country, we don't believe in people going hungry. But food stamps absolutely exploded under President Obama. At the highs, reached almost 50 million Americans. Mm. That's the entire West Coast population of America. I mean, think of that, like how many people that is that needed the government's help just to eat, you know, the most basic of human activities. Now, though, the good news is, that's the bad news. The good news is they're coming off at an unbelievable clip. 2 million off and counting. Every month of his presidency has seen a six-figure plus, 100,000 plus, decrease in food stamps. And think of that, what does, number one, for our country, for our federal budget, to not have to spend that money. But more importantly, what it does for them, for those former recipients, to no longer be dependent on government, to stand on their own 2 feet, to feed themselves, to feed their families, what that does for their confidence and their self-importance. And it's just a wonderful stat, and I sure hope it continues. I think it's going to, you know, at this clip, by the time he gets reelected and serves his full 8 years, let's get 20 million Americans off food stamps. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for the country?
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Again, I'll refer people to your Twitter handle, which is at Cortez Steve, and Cortez is spelled C-O-R-T-E-S. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate
okay,
it.
You too. Bye-bye.